Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
COVID in Nepal, our focus this morning. We have a real interesting show for you this morning to talk about a situation that is really super bad over there right now. And we're going to talk about what's going on and how you can help. David Caprera is here with the Fredericksburg-Nepal Exchange Board. Dr. David Redinger from UMW here, and former ambassador to Nepal, American ambassador Scott DeLisi is here this morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for getting up and coming in.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
David Caprera, you were the one, first of all, a couple of weeks ago who sent me an email and told me about a situation. I had heard about India, but I did not know about Nepal, and that really opened my eyes to just a horrible situation right now.
Yes. Well, 2 weeks ago, as that exploded in India, it exploded in Nepal, and we got disturbing reports from our dear friends who have been to Fredericksburg from the sister city there. Four of the board members there, their families tested positive for COVID. The severity was further brought home. Ambassador DeLisi can speak more to the statistics, but an incoming UMW student's father passed away, Anshu Adhikari. He was working for the U.S. Millennium Challenge. And just this morning, we got news from Srijana that many people know here, our coordinator, sister city over there, that the lockdown is going up around Kathmandu and the surrounding cities because the death rate and COVID, while we've gotten control of it over a year, is way out of control. So they're being asked to things like oxygen, again, that Scott can talk to, but also small things, helping families, helping government fill the cracks. The Fredericksburg sister city Fred Nepal Exchange Board passed a resolution to step up support for Nepal throughout our region in partnership with Engage Nepal, led by Scott DeLisi, and David Redinger is leading the effort. Engage Nepal is well known around town. They've been partnering with Sagarmatha Children's Home Orphanage that you featured before, a local resident, Carol Morrow. And I'd also like to give a shout out. Area companies are stepping up. Geico last week has matched contributions from our sister city president and their employee fund, and River Rock Outfitters, who's on the show often, is matching donations and still accepting contributions at the store here in town. Thanks, Ted.
There really is a local connection to Nepal in Fredericksburg, which, if you're not aware of that, has gone back. I mean, years ago, you came in after the earthquake.
Yes, the Nepalese who are on our board are calling this COVID challenge Rise Nepal 2. Rise Nepal, you may recall, Ted, we were on your show in 2015. Fredericksburg turned out big time at a concert at the Silk Mill, raised funds for earthquake tragedy victims that took 9,000 lives. And later that year, Matt Kelly, city councilman, sponsored a resolution to city council. We became a sister city, the fifth sister city of Fredericksburg. And our mayor, Mary Catherine Greenlaw, became honorary chair. There was proclamations at both city halls and ongoing exchanges of love, of culture. Scarlet Ponds on Caroline crafted a unique Mount Everest plate that's in City Hall over there. And it's heartening to see Virginians, after we're turning a corner on the pandemic, also reaching out to others that are less fortunate and certainly a far more catastrophic situation that we're experiencing today. So thank you for having us. And you'll hear more about EngageNepal.org is the website that Scott has up on this. But thanks, Ted.
Ambassador DeLisi, as David talks about it, and I'm sure you've seen, I don't know that we can even comprehend how bad it is. I mean, we know what it was like around here, but it's not like what you're seeing right now in Nepal.
No, it's not at all. And as you said, Ted, people have seen some of the images from India, right? This is so much worse. There's an old saying that when India sneezes, Nepal gets sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right next to each other, but this tiny little country, it's got an open border with India, and people stream across. And they brought across, this new mutant, mutation of the virus. And in Nepal today, things are as dire as I've ever seen it. I get up every morning and I reach out and I talk with partners in Nepal. And to hear the fear and the desperation in their voices. That's something I've never seen before, not even after the earthquake. And the knowledge that no one is safe. Every family is being touched. Every day I'm hearing about someone who's lost a parent, a sibling, a child, cousin, whatever it may be. And it's just, you have a country whose medical system is challenged at the best of times.
Yeah.
And at a time like this, it's just, they just can't keep up. The hospitals, there are no beds. One of the largest private hospitals in Kathmandu had to close down the other day because they're out of beds, they're out of oxygen, and now they're running short on medicines. We hear about these things, and we're aware that there's a problem, but people just don't really get the flavor of it, the full magnitude of it, of sitting and watching your parent gasping for breath and knowing you can't help.
There's nothing you can do.
There's no oxygen. There's nothing you can do. Sitting in a wheelchair, waiting, hoping that a bed might open up in the hospital and maybe there'll be an oxygen concentrator for them, but watching them die as you wait. You know, calling numerous hospitals, calling every, this is what you, the story that you hear. And this is in Kathmandu. This is in the capital where you at least have some degree of infrastructure. As you move out into the more remote areas of the country and the virus is now taking root further out, it's devastating. And we talked about you guys talked about the earthquake, right? And after the earthquake, everybody cared.
Mm-hmm.
In the quake, we lost 7,000 to 8,000 people. We've lost that many already with COVID, and this is just the start of what is really a horrific wave, where estimates put possible deaths well over 40,000, which would be like 500,000 in the U.S. And this is just, as they say, it's beginning now. Again, the second wave is really having a devastating impact, and already we're having to worry about what happens when the third wave hits, and a third wave probably will. So yeah, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and a lot of challenges.
Wow, there are just so many things, just so many things to ask you. But just it's hard to comprehend that level of just fear and looking ahead.
Yeah, and you know the challenge too is vaccinations. Here we're doing really well in America, right? We've turned the corner. We're so, and everyone feels that tremendous sense of relief. In Nepal, less than 10%, about 7% of people have had both shots. They don't have the vaccines right now. And they were getting vaccines through COVAX, which is this global alliance to provide vaccines for developing countries. And the U.S. has put $4 billion into that effort. But Nepal was to get their vaccines through the Serum Institute of India. The Serum Institute of India, given what's happening in India, suddenly said, we can't do it. And we've got to deal with India right now, and maybe next year. So suddenly Nepal is looking and saying, oh my God, how are we going to cope with this continuing wave of the pandemic when we can't even vaccinate our people, when we don't have the resources? And for example, the government of Nepal came with their wish list. On the wish list that they gave USAID recently were 7,722 oxygen concentrators. The need's greater, but that was what was on the list. But I've had the opportunity to talk with colleagues in our government, and USAID, they can't find the concentrators either. These things are in such short supply. So the challenge of sourcing the needed equipment is huge. The challenge of sourcing the medicines is going to be huge. They're running out of acetaminophen. They're running out of prednisone, which is used to help treat people. They're running out of some of the antibiotics that are needed to help people in treatment. The challenges of coordination, of sourcing, of delivery, the logistics, when you've got a lockdown. We had talked about the possibility of bringing an aircraft from Nepal to bring supplies back. Now, our government wants to be as helpful as possible, but the idea of bringing in an aircraft in from a country that's experiencing a new triple mutant of the virus when we aren't sure about how we control these things, suddenly say, I'm not so sure that that's a great idea, and I absolutely understand that.
Yeah.
But so these are some of the challenges that that all of those who are trying to help are going to face.
EngageNepal.org is a great website to check out and see what's going on. Former ambassador, American ambassador to Nepal, Dr. Scott DeLisi here, Dr. David Redinger from UMW, and David Caprera is here this morning. We're going to get into how the community can help. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
COVID and Nepal are focus this morning. Fredericksburg has a sister city relationship with Nepal, and that is what we're focusing in on with really some experts on all of this. And COVID, as you just heard, just taking off in Nepal. David Caprera is here along with former Ambassador Scott DeLisi and Dr. David Redinger from UMW. Dr. Redinger, you've been in Nepal several times, haven't you?
Three times now. Certainly nothing to compare with what Ambassador DeLisi's done, but I've had three different opportunities to go. Once when I was younger, as just after college myself, and then I've led two study abroads to Nepal with UMW students. It's been an absolute career highlight to be able to take students there and to see this absolutely magical place. And that's why it's so heartbreaking to me to know that these friends that we've made are suffering so badly. It's easy to exoticize a place like Nepal, to think of it as other or foreign, if you can hear the quotation marks.
Right.
But Nepalis are just as diverse, just as interesting, just they're everyone's the same in the world. We think of Nepal as this mountain place, but mm-hmm. Nepal has jungles with tigers. It has valleys that would look a lot like Denver if you didn't look at the architecture too closely. And of course, the big mountains that they're so famous for. Over 100 languages are spoken in Nepal. It's a very diverse, interesting place that it's easy to sort of see it as this one simple thing, but it's a very complex place. It's a very complex and also very poor for the most part. There are roughly one doctor for every 1,400 Nepalis, and even fewer than that when you get outside of the main cities. Their infrastructure isn't really prepared to handle, even daily life is kind of challenging there sometimes. And then when a crisis hits, like an earthquake or now COVID, it is completely overwhelms the infrastructure that they've been developing. And of course, this is coming on the heels of that earthquake where many roads, many homes were destroyed. And so there's a lot of construction going on. And as we've seen, construction sites have been a really difficult vector for COVID. So it's difficult to have both of those things at the same time.
Were you going to jump in, Ambassador DeLisi?
There's so many different ways that we could slice and dice this. Yeah, what David said, though, about the diversity of this country, it really is. It's an incredible place. And when you think about how rich this country is in terms of the cultures, the different tribal and ethnic communities, there's so much that just touches you when you go there. But while all of that, that's a feast for our intellect in many ways, right? We're fascinated by all of this. But the people of Nepal, no matter what community they come from, I think that part of the reason the people of Fredericksburg and the Sister City program has been so fantastic is the people of Nepal touch our hearts. Mm-hmm. There's just something about them. There's this intrinsic decency, compassion, tolerance, just generosity of spirit that I think is so amazing, and that despite the poverty, despite the challenges, people bring this tremendous resilience and sense of community that allows them to keep going even on the most difficult of days. And that's what we respond to. And I just want to say thank you to the people of Fredericksburg, because I think this sister city program that you guys have initiated has just been incredible. From Mayor Greenlaw to the two Davids sitting here, to Carol Morrow, to April Peterson, to so many people, Bim DeHall, all of these folks in Fredericksburg who have opened their hearts. I've seen Sister City programs before. Many of them have not been terribly dynamic or successful. This is just a tremendous exception, and it inspires me every day when I see this.
And I was going to say, everybody that I know that went to Nepal and have gone numerous times from this area have just been really touched when they come back. It's more than just a sightseeing trip or get to know people. They've been truly touched.
Nepal tourism is almost always marketed as the come to Nepal, see the mountains. Oh, by the way, there's some temples. And I think a lot of people go there and expect to have that experience. And like many of us, they come back and say, well, yeah, the temples are great and the mountains really are as big as they could possibly be and as beautiful as they could possibly be. But what you come back with is the people. They're who come back with you. I went in 1992 and it was a great experience. And I thought, well, that was a thing that I did as a young man. And that's an experience I'll take with me forever.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd have the opportunity to really engage with Nepal again until David showed up in my office one day and said, UMW should really be doing more with Nepal. And he persuaded me for a lot of reasons, not least of which being these amazing people who he had created contacts with. But he pointed out something really interesting to me, which is Nepal is the world's youngest democracy. Their democracy is not even 10 years old now.
Wow.
They were a kingdom not that long ago. And so as Americans, and especially in this Fredericksburg region where there are so many folks who have really sacrificed a great deal for democracy, this is an opportunity to really grow a seedling. And so not only are these amazing people struggling with COVID, they're also trying to figure out what it means to be a citizen of a democratic republic. And it's an amazing experience for us who take it as our birthright to recognize that it's absolutely not one, and it's something you have to fight for every day.
Boy, that's such a good point, David. When I was there, I was there at the tail after the end of the conflict, but as they were trying to formulate their constitution, we take constitutions for granted, right? In many countries, they go through multiples. In Nepal, they were trying to figure out, who are we going to be? Now that we are no longer a Hindu kingdom, what does it mean to be a citizen of a federal democratic republic? And for the young people who make up the majority of the country, they're a significant part of that population. They're struggling to find that sense of identity. And as they struggle with that, and as they're dealing with these challenges of preserving this beautiful natural environment, building for the future, and then coping with an earthquake, and now with a pandemic, boy, if ever there was a time that they need a hand held out in partnership. And folks in Nepal, you know, they don't ask. They aren't asking for us to, oh, come fix everything for us. They're just asking for someone to be a partner. And they put plenty into it, and we can help.
And to build off what Ambassador DeLisi said, it's important to recognize that international aid often goes awry when it's top down, when you parachute in and become the folks who are going to save the developing country. That's when things go badly. But when we have these person-to-person, small organization connections like we do through the Sister City program, like Ambassador DeLisi has through Engage Nepal, we get pictures on Facebook of the results of the work that we do. We get emails from friends saying, hey, you made a difference. We talked briefly about Sagarmatha Children's Home. Every time they post a picture, my UMW students who follow them on Facebook, they look in the background and say, yeah, we painted those walls.
I'm just sending out letters this week from the kids at Sagarmatha Home to their sponsors here in the States, along with pictures. And you're absolutely right. It really does make a difference when you work with groups that are in the community, that know the communities, that have the trust of the people they're partnering with, and who understand the needs. And it's not our job to fix Nepal, but those partnerships can matter. We touch lives every day, as you say. And it is that personal connection. When I was an ambassador, we used to have we'd have millions of dollars, right? These huge programs, and they were great.
Yeah.
I was proud of what we did as a nation. But at the end of it, I'd get a report from USAID, and they'd say, you know, the number of households reached, the, you know, this and that, you know, telling me the impact. Now, when we help 8 kids continue their education, their secondary education, by being able to fund them to be able to board because they'd have to walk 4 hours each way every day otherwise, and their parents earn $1 a day. But these 8 kids continue their education because we have people who care. I get letters from those 8 kids. We know their names. We see their faces. And that personal connection, and the personal connection that you all bring through for the Fredericksburg Sister City program, you know, we're very concerned about the medical needs, but we also recognize that food security is a huge issue right now. Basic necessities is a huge issue. Awareness is a huge issue. And Srijana, you know, in part of the Sister City program, has come up with a program that makes sense on building awareness so we can keep people out of the hospitals, catch these things early before they need oxygen, and also addressing some of these basic human needs. And this is the sort of thing that, even as we're rushing to create a big oxygen plant, if we can help at that basic human level as well, we're going to do that too. And that's what we've committed to doing, and that's what we do in partnership.
How long were you in Nepal as ambassador?
I was there 2 years, 2 months, and 10 days, a total of 800 days, but who was counting? My wife was. She loved it. We stay 3 years, Ted, but I was asked if I'd leave early to go to Uganda. And generally when they ask you that, it's not really a question.
Right.
So we didn't stay quite as long as we would have liked, but I was the Nepal desk officer earlier in my career. I traveled there during my first assignment, which was in what was then Bombay back in the early 80s. So I've had a connection to Nepal that's gone on and off for many, many years now.
Boy, Dr. Redinger, when Fredericksburg, as you mentioned, you know, going what was early 90s, and mm-hmm. then when Fredericksburg established a sister city, that had to be kind of exciting for you to have something like that right up close.
It was an amazing opportunity. Like I said, it started for me when David literally just showed up in my office. That was back when I was directing the Center for Honor, Leadership, and Service, and said, community engagement doesn't have to end at the Spotsylvania County line. And we became more engaged internationally at that time. And the UMW has always had a really great heart for service and for community engagement. And so to tie that in with the incredible international programs that our Center for International Education has been putting on for decades really gave us a little bit of a sweet spot. It's very doable for a student to come with me and whoever else is leading the trip. It's been Dr. Dan Hirschberg for the last couple of years, to Kathmandu for 2 weeks. Imagine this, right? You're 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've been out of the country. Maybe you haven't. On our first trip, we had a student whose first airplane flight was an Emirates Air flight to Dubai on our way to Kathmandu. He'd never been on a plane before.
Yeah.
And it is true that the greatest learning happens outside the classroom. That moment, the first morning, we always stay near the Bodh Stupa, which is, if you've ever had one of those experiences in life where you see the world almost as bigger than it is, or you see the entirety of the universe at once, it's very difficult to see Bodh Stupa and not have a feeling like that. It's one of those man-made objects that transcends. And you wake up, you're literally 50 feet from it in our hotel, and you can just see the students. They haven't slept much. Everything smells different. There's the calls to prayer from the Buddhist monasteries, and there's this just enormous Buddhist temple. And the look on the students' faces when they realize they're as far from home, metaphorically, as they could ever be, you start them out with this sort of smack in the face of difference, and then you start to bring them into the similarities. It changes your worldview, and there's nothing like that kind of educational experience. There's no substitute for that. There's no book you can watch. There's no YouTube video that captures that moment. And so that is what these international educational experiences, and especially then when we go and do either direct service or learn about NGO engagement in places like Nepal. Nepal's by far not the only country where there's interesting opportunities. So, you know, the reason we've been able to get as enmeshed as we've been is because of the great folks at the Sister City Program, because of Ambassador DeLisi's incredible connections in Nepal. We got to go meet the mayor of Kathmandu. That doesn't happen every week. Well, it does for him, I guess. But our students really benefit from that. And we're so excited for the possibility of getting to go back there in a year or two once it's safe to do that. And we'll be able to really make a difference at that point, especially.
Dr. David Redinger here. David Caprera is here. And former ambassador to Nepal, Scott DeLisi, is here this morning. Quick break. We're going to come back and continue to talk about COVID in Nepal and how you can get involved. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 834.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News,
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking COVID in Nepal this morning. Great group in this morning. Former Ambassador Scott DeLisi here, Dr. David Redinger with UMW here, and David Caprera was involved with the local Fredericksburg Sister City, Nepal Sister City program. So as we talked about Ambassador DeLisi, as we've talked about just the horrible conditions, and we could do a whole show and continue on and talk about story after story, but there are things we can do and there are things being done. And I thought for the rest of the show we'll give people a lot of options out there and a lot of great things. EngageNepal.org, a great website, and you're involved with setting up Engage Nepal.
The day after I retired from my full-time service with the State Department, I had been asked if I could help with Engage Nepal. They were dealing with the aftermath of the earthquake. We didn't have much in the bank. We didn't really know what the direction was going to be. But as we said, the people of Nepal touch our hearts, and I felt that this was the chance to continue to serve. Because it becomes all about service, about that commitment to making a difference. So we've built something, I think, that matters at Engage Nepal. We're making that concerted effort. And right now, for the past year, it's been all about COVID. It's been about responding to the crisis. And at the moment, the most immediate need has been oxygen. And so we have been able to bring in, to source and to fund, so far, $50,000 worth of oxygen concentrators, some of which are arriving in Kathmandu today, this morning as we speak. We have been able to find and source some of the oxygen cylinders that are needed, and those are coming in. We're working with a consortium of Nepali groups that raised $1.2 million to buy 11 massive oxygen plants. And I'm hoping, we've been talking with USAID, and I'm hoping that the U.S. government, in one of these public-private partnerships that really matters, will be able to provide the airlift to move those 11 oxygen plants to Kathmandu, so we can get them on the ground. We're working with groups to provide smaller oxygen plants to places like the Chhatrapati Free Clinic in Kathmandu that serves so many people who are desperate and who just don't otherwise have the resources for the private hospitals and all the rest. We're doing similar things, creating oxygen banks. We're doing everything we can on that front. But as we mentioned earlier, there are so many compelling needs. And right now, this pandemic has had such a devastating effect on the economy, on people's livelihoods, their families who haven't worked in ages. And they worry about just putting the next meal on the table. We see kids who are malnourished. We see children who are being forced into child labor because they have no alternative. We see girls being trafficked and becoming more vulnerable to trafficking. And kids were going to be lost to education permanently. So we're trying to respond to meet these basic human needs as well. We just put another $10,000 into feeding two different communities that we're trying to support. And we've just gotten the proposal from Sri Jana through the Sister Cities program to do both that awareness campaign and to help feed another group of really needy people, people who are vulnerable and need help right now. And we're going to do that as well. And there's never enough money, and you can never do it all. But everything that you do, you know, matters. We can't fix every problem, but we can touch lives and we can save lives. And that's what we're doing with the help of these great folks in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, I'll highlight that one of the things about helping Nepal as an individual is that it's a landlocked country, so it means you can't just put stuff on a ship and send it over there. It has to go through India or over the Himalayas from China. Those are the two main trade routes. Sending money to Nepal is not exactly something for amateurs either. It's not like you can just Venmo your friends there. So it's really important, and that's why the sister city made the decision to partner with Engage Nepal rather than to try to raise money and buy stuff ourselves, mm-hmm. because there's just some overhead of time and expertise that we don't have, but Ambassador DeLisi does. And so we've put together a fundraiser, and we have a link for it too. But I would say just go ahead and use the Engage Nepal portal. It's an easier website to remember, and know that he's got that expertise to make sure that the things that we are paying for actually get to the places that we expect them to go. It's a vetted and trusted organization and a structure that we know works.
So we're raising that support through engagenepal.org and at River Rock Outfitters. Very simple. Give people oxygen. Scott is racing the oxygen along with the Nepal U.S. Medical Foundation. Food, $15 for a family for 2 weeks, along with PPV. Very simple things, one-on-one care, people that are falling through the gaps. That's what our counterparts are doing, and this help will go a long way. And I just want to give an added shout-out to this greater community. UMW David Redinger's work, he inspired the formation of the Ananda Student Club for Nepal there. Dr. Jose Sines, who runs international relations. UMW has dynamic relations and students from around the world, including Nepal. And thanks, Jose, for hosting them. The Multicultural Center has hosted Prem Raja Mahat cultural concerts there. The city, our Mayor Greenlaw, really cares about this great city and region and sharing it, hosting their mayor, talking about things today on the front page of FLS, smart cities, sharing technology, also environment. We have our friends of the Rappahannock. They've exchanged for clean rivers in Nepal. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of common concerns we've shared. And I want to last give a shout out to the artists. Artists in this town and region, my own wife, Colette, Sue Henderson, the Arts Commission got in the act after the earthquake, Kathy Herndon, FCCA, Scarlet Ponds, Casey Shaw at Art First, Cabin Creek Band. Tanya Ritchie, a local artist who passed away, had all her artwork at Castiglia's in downtown Fredericksburg. Colette said, you know, which paintings do you want to donate for the benefit? She said, let them have them all. And that's been the spirit of this small town and region really cares. And we want to thank the Fredericksburg greater community and region and the two individuals here today for doing so much to care and to show the greatness of what it means to be an American.
Let's add Councilman Matt Kelly to that list as well.
That's right.
Yeah, and can I just add, you know, the connection when I first came down, the first time I came down and met with Mayor Greenlaw and you, David, and some of the others in the community, we were talking about all these things, about the rivers, about environment, about jobs, about building a better future. You weren't just responding to a crisis. You've had this ongoing commitment. And, Ted, you know, when I was, again, I told you, I was really proud of the work that we did as a nation, right? Mm-hmm. And we do. We touch lives. Yeah, people talk about foreign affairs, and they think about Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and the crisis of the day. But every day in countries around the world, we are making a huge difference in people's lives. And as proud as I was of that as an ambassador, I was every bit as proud of the work that our citizens did. I saw communities like this who volunteered their time and their expertise. It's not just about money, but it was about that commitment and that caring. And I was so proud when I saw that spirit of commitment and volunteerism, and it was the best of America. And to be able to point to that as the essence of the partnership that we had with these nations, that made it all worthwhile.
And I like what you said a little bit earlier, a few minutes ago, Ambassador, about the fact that we can't do everything, but you can just, your little $10 funneled to engage Nepal can make a huge difference.
$5 makes it. It's the cumulative impact to begin with. And, you know, sometimes people look at these problems, and this one just as daunting as can be. And you want to throw up your hands and say, well, what difference can I make? What difference does my $10 make? And we walk away. You know, I can't, all I can tell you is, what I do know, I know that I can't solve everything, but I know that I'll solve nothing if I don't try. And that's for all of us, that as long as we make the effort, we bring that energy and that commitment to making a difference, we can have an impact. And even if, I used to tell my teams at the embassy, at the end of the day, you know, you'd look at the fight against HIV/AIDS in Uganda. We saved a life today, we saved more than one.
Right.
But even if you walk away at the end of your tour and we say, we saved a life, any human life, that's a damn good day's work. I got to tell you, I'm always proud of it. And that's what we can do together. We can make that kind of a difference. And we won't save everybody, but those we save will always know that somebody cared and somebody reached out.
With as devastating as the earthquake was, and now this, how are the people holding up?
I said earlier, one of the things that I admire most about the people of Nepal is this tremendous resiliency. And it comes from that sense of community, and they care for each other because they know that life is hard. And they know, as David said, that this is a poor country, it's a challenged country. They've not always experience the best of governance, but they take care of each other and they build for the future. And you can go, I will tell you, I still remember as a young officer going into the smallest of villages in Nepal. And people might be desperately poor, but they would always say, please come sit, have dal bhat, a meal, eat with us. And they would share their food and they would open their hearts. And they're tremendous people, and they're scared, they're desperate, and they're facing tremendous loss right now. But they will come back because this is who they are. But if we can help, I think that's something that's.
And they've heard from Fredericksburg. They've heard from Town Talk Radio, and that means a lot. We've shared with them this link, and there's so much hope. The families that were impacted to hear from even emails, so many people of Fredericksburg are sending, and it's the young people. The resilience Scott talked about after the earthquake. They went out on the streets with the small help from Fredericksburg and rebuilt transitional homes, and I was so encouraged to see that resilience in the young people of Nepal, and that's really what it's all about.
David, there's a group that I'm working with right now called Humming Nepal, and it is a group of young people, and they came together after the earthquake, and they're still working together, though, and they are stepping up now. I just talked with a few of them the other day as they were at a home for blind children, and they were out there testing the kids. And 30% of the kids were testing positive, even in this controlled environment. But these kids are dedicated, and they're working their heart. They're giving everything they've got. And at the end of the day, they're exhausted, but they keep going out because somebody's got to do it, and they are.
One of the things that amazes me, and I'm just now realizing this, listening to this conversation, every single person I know in Nepal who is in a position to do so spends a good deal of their energy trying to help other people in a structural way. So I was introduced by Scott to a guy who has been a very successful property developer. He's built literally hundreds of schools across the country because communities needed them at no charge. He pays for the schools. He's built the largest vocational school in the Kathmandu Valley for the purpose of making sure that there are enough construction workers to do the work. And he trains them for pennies on the dollar. We have friends who basically built businesses to do recycling, one of the first recycling businesses in the Kathmandu Valley. Water conservation, of course, all of the social services that we're talking about. And so I think the fundamental answer to your question is how are they holding up is by helping each other. by pulling together, especially those who can't pull are helped by those who can.
I can, just to build on one thing you said there, because it made me think, yeah, this gentleman that David was talking about, he's got the vocational school, but it's also about preserving arts, right? He's creating artisans as well for some of the ancient traditions. And what I worry about, and what I saw happen during the HIV pandemic when I was in Africa, you saw cultures that were being lost so much in terms of the elders in the community, the traditions and cultural norms, and the arts, many of these things were being lost. And Nepal offers the world such a unique cultural tradition, such a unique range of cultural traditions, as you said, this very diverse society, that I worry as well that if we, that I hope that by acting, that by helping to make a difference, we will also help this nation to be able to preserve that tremendous identity that really is a treasure for all of us.
We've talked a lot about the giving and the charitable stuff, but the cultural aspects that both David and Scott have mentioned are what draw a lot of folks in. And I think a great place to sort of dip your toe in the water, if you want to just learn a little bit more about that, is to, if you're a Facebook user, to join the Fredericksburg Nepal Exchange or the Sister City Group on Facebook. That's our main source of communication. We're still in the process of building a website. And so we'd love to have all of you join us in that group, and you know, we're not going to hit you up for money too often, especially once the COVID crisis is over, but we just love for you to see who we see, meet who we meet, and get to know the organization a bit. Now that things are lifting up a bit here, we're looking to have more arts, music, and intellectual kinds of conversations in person again. We often have Nepal-themed speakers at UMW. It's time to have another art show, David, I think, and to do some of the things that some of the fun stuff. The food's also really great too. There are some local Nepali restaurants that we'll try to introduce people to over the course of that time as well.
Dr. David Redinger from UMW here, former Ambassador Scott DeLisi, and David Caprera here. We're talking about COVID and Nepal, Fredericksburg, with a sister city response to COVID. We will take our last break, quick break, and come back and again tell you how to get involved on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
There are good shows, and then there are really good shows. COVID in Nepal, our focus this morning. David Caprera, Dr. David Redinger, and former Ambassador Scott DeLisi here this morning talking about the COVID situation. Just a couple of minutes left, and I guess Ambassador DeLisi, engagenepal.org, as we've come around. That's really where you can make a difference.
Engagenepal.org, there are links in there to donate, to make a difference, to have an impact. You can look at my Facebook page. You can send me an email. My information's all over the place. I answer the emails. I answer the text messages. You know, I'm in the area. I consider myself part of the Fredericksburg community, kind of the far end of it, but I'm up in Haymarket, Virginia. But you reach up there,
yeah,
too. So
yeah.
But again, just a shout out to everyone that has helped and that cares. It really does matter. So. And I know David and David have both made a huge difference on this, as is the mayor and everybody here. So thank you to all.
And you mentioned Matt Kelly, David. Matt and Cindy Kelly both climbed Poon Hill. They actually hosted a Nepali UMW student, as well as exchanges. Mm-hmm. Matt is an expert in our region on environment. So we really have wonderful leadership here, along with EngageNepal.org and David Redinger's Facebook appeal campaign. People can also drop off contributions again at River Rock Outfitter. They've sponsored the exchanges in trekking and hiking. We also have it here in Abroad Delhi on Princess Anne Street, our chairman, who's Nepali, Purna Shrestha. You can connect with him, or at Taste of Spice, is a Nepali restaurant at Cosner's Corner that's supporting the effort, and great Nepali food too. And thanks again, Ted and Town Talk, for all you do to feature the greatness of the Fredericksburg region and our engagement with the world.
Well, time is short, but again, Dr. Redinger, you take a look and you talk about the greatness of this region, that this region doesn't just focus on itself, and this is a great example.
I completely agree. there's plenty to do here in the region as well. I mean, I should never talk to anyone without mentioning the food bank. They can always use our help. EngageNepal.org, and please check out our Facebook page, which is the Fredericksburg Nepal Exchange or the Fredericksburg Kathmandu Sister City Program.
Well, it's so easy just to get caught up with ourselves, Ambassador DeLisi, but this really isn't. And really, like you say, even if it's just $5, whatever you can do, do something.
That's right. And listen, and I recognize as well that there's plenty of need in the world. There's plenty of need right here at home. But we all act where we can. Mm-hmm. I know that, for example, I can help make a difference, a little bit more of a difference in Nepal, perhaps, because I've got the connections there and I've got the experience. So that's where I've chosen to help. But again, when we act, whether it's for Nepal, whether it's within the region, whether it's in the food bank, in the local community, it all matters. But service matters. Engagement matters.
Ambassador DeLisi, thank you for making the trek from Haymarket in this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ted. Pleasure to be here.
David Caprera and Dr. Redinger, thank you both for coming too and in what you're doing. And again, EngageNepal.org. We'll do this again if we have to. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Ted.
Namaste. Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a safe day. We'll see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.